All right, so we're on Daf. Please, I need everyone's attention. We're on Mem Aleph today. I'll begin on Mem Beis, page 80, six in the Mishnah, 10 lines to the bottom on 40b. You have the place, Robert. Okay, so Manitin. Now, I'll read this Mishnah. We don't understand what the Mishnah means. I'll just read and translate, and then the Gemara will devote itself to understanding the Mishnah. There's more than one way to understand the Mishnah. Okay, Manitin, Evid Shasa Rebbe Apotiki Ma'acherim. So Apotiki is if a person owes money to someone. Typically, a person borrows money. So if Shimon borrows money from Reuven, so Shimon might have some property. He might designate that property to be an apotiki for the lender. In other words, it's a place where the lender can collect money. Now, there's different types of apotiki. You can have apotiki mafurish or apotiki stam. So apotiki mafurish is, he says, Ein lechat peron ol mizu, that our agreement is that when you have to collect money, it's this or nothing. And that's one type of agreement, a potki mafurish. Another type of potki is, this is the agreement that you collect from this, and there's different among them. There's a potki shonim exactly what would be a potki stam, but someone would say that at the creditor's discretion, he could collect from that, but he could choose to collect from something else as well. Now, the Mishnah says, Eved shasa rabo potki lakeirim. You have an Eved whose master made him an apotiki. In other words, the apotiki is the Eved. Instead of Karka, the Eved is the apotiki. B'shichro, it's not clear who freed him, was in the Gemara. Shruta din, ena Eved chayev klum. So mitzada din, the Eved doesn't owe anything to anyone. And the tikkun olam, kofin rabo will sota ben chorin. But there's a tikkun olam, he forced the master to free him. And again, we don't understand everything. The kotek shtar al damav. So l'chora, we'll see. Somebody writes a star for the money. He doesn't write it. He frees him. So we don't understand this Mishnah. We'll see in the Gemara right away. We'll learn different pshatim and we'll tighten up shortly. So if you look five lines to the bottom, Evet Shasa Rabo Potki B'Shichro Mishichro, who freed him? So Amar Rav Rabo Rishon. So Rav says his first master freed him. So the way I thought I would use it is, let's say Reuven will be the Malva and Shimon will be the Lova. Shimon the Lova is the slave owner. So Shimon owns Ivan. Ivan is an Eved Kanani. So when the Tanakh Mishnah says, excuse me, Eved Sha'asa Rabo Potki Shichro, so Rabo Rishon. So the way that Rab is learning his first master, Shimon frees his own slave. In other words, he designated that Ivan is going to be the apotiki for a debt. And then he went around and freed Ivan. That's the end of the apotiki. So we'll see in a minute. Amar Rav Rabu Rishon, Shur Adin, in Eved Chayev Klum Rabu Sheni. So Mitzad Adin, so this Eved, now he's happy as a lark. Now I'm free. I'm a free man. Freedom at last. So he's going in the street. So Mitzad Adin, he doesn't owe any money to Reuven. Reuven was the creditor. Reuven was the lender. And Shimon made Ivan the apotiki for his debt to Reuven. So now Ivan is a free man. So Mitzad Adin, Ivan owes nothing to Reuven. Okay? He says, Kid Rabba, like Rabba says, Dama Rabba, Hekte Shchamitsu Shichur, Mafkin Midei Shibud. We've had this before. And you see the Eichet Sakin to on the side. So there are certain, you know, major events that undo any security lien that a person has. And the three that Rabba mentions are Hekte, let's say you had, you know, an interest, a shibud on a certain piece of property, but the true owner is makdish the property, that's the end of your shibud. That's the end of the shibud. And then chametz, let's say a Jew, he borrows money from a non-Jew, and he says, you know, this chametz will be your security interest, you know, the chametz, but he doesn't give the chametz to the goy, the Jew keeps the chametz, and then Pesach comes along. So now it's asur bana. So that's the end of that goy's shibud in it. And shichror, if you free the Eved, like here, that's mafkila shibud. Then there's certain actions that are so, you know, what's the right word?
Significant.
Right. Significant, such great, you know, legal actions that they undo the shibud. Now, Rabbi Leibowitz was mentioning there are other things also that are mafkila de shibud. He was mentioning, let's say a person used an object for tachrichim, for shrouds for a dead person, that's not the shibud. And then he said also, let's say a person that doesn't use it for avodah zarah, it's also not the shibud. He says I think he's saying that, I don't know, he says, Mepharshim talk about why he doesn't mention those items. So it could be that those items were subsumed in the items we mentioned, or it could be that he's only mentioning those items that are mentioned like in a Mishnah or a Braisa, and those are not mentioned in the Mishnah or Braisa. But you get the idea. The main point is, though, that Shechrur is Mafkim B'Shida. So again, so we're on Mem of Days 40b, 2 lines from the bottom. We just did this Mishnah, and the Mishnah is very unclear. So we said in the Mishnah, the way we're learning right now, the Pshat, according to Rav, if you have an Eved whose master Shimon made him an Apotki, designated the Eved, is going to be an Apotki Mefurash. If you have to collect the debt, you go, you seize Ivan, and then that'll be your security. Then Shimon went around and freed Ivan, and now no more Apotki. So the Shura didn't, the Eved is not chayev anything to Reuven, the lender, Reuven the creditor. He says, Ella, 2 lines to the bottom, the Tikkun Olam, Shemin said Bashut, but because of Tikkun Olam, again, the Mishnah that we've been doing, and now, and going to the next parak, deal with Tikkun Olam, things that the Chamim enacted for like the benefit of the world, for Tikkun Olam, Shemin said Bashut, we're afraid that Reuven, the creditor, will bump into Ivan in the marketplace. Now, Ivan's a free man. He says on the top line, the Yomar lo Abdiata, he'll say to him, you're my Abed. No, he's not his Eved. It's not true. It's false. But there's like a color. It's a colorable line of argument. And Rashi learns the top line of Rashi. V'yomar lo abdiyata v'yotzi la zabana. So Rashi learns the chashash is we're afraid it'll cast dispersions about the status of Ivan's children. Ivan is now a free man. But it'll cast this you know, allegation will cast dispersions on it, our children. So pofin et rabo shetni boso taban forin. So he forced the second master, which is Reuven, the creditor. We forced the creditor, Reuven, to free Ivan as well. To also issue Shvet. Ivan is not the Eved of Reuven. Ivan was the most opposed to Reuven, and Ivan was freed. But we forced Reuven, nevertheless, to issue Shtar Shechrur to Ivan because we don't want anybody, we don't want Reuven to cast aspersions on Ivan's children. Well, so to put for in, the Kotiv Eved, Shtar Aldama, the Eved, Ivan now, this is part of the Tikkun Olam, is going to write an IOU note for his value to Reuven, the creditor. Okay, now let's just two more lines and we'll summarize and we'll go on. Rav Shmuel Gamliel Meir, in Eved Kotev, El Mishachar Kotev. Rav Shmuel says the Eved doesn't write anything. The Eved doesn't write any IOU notes. The Mishachar, Shimon, the debtor, he's the one who has to write something. He's going to write something. He's going to say IOU. Now, the Gemara says, what is the point of dispute between the Tanna Kamma and Rosh Hashanah? Why does each one hold the way they do? The point of dispute is when a person impairs someone else's security interest. He says, the Gemara of Rosh Hashanah holds that if you impair someone else's security interest, which is exactly what Shimon did, because Reuven had this whole apotiki, and Ivan was the apotiki, and he freed Ivan, that was it. So he holds, or Shmuel holds, the Marsar Chayav. Shmuel says, yeah, you're still liable. You're on the hook for that. You impaired Reuven's Sheba. Umar Savar Patur. And the Tanna Kamma holds his Patur. Itmar Nami was stated as well, Amazik Shibudosho Kabero, if a person, he impairs, he undermines the security interest of somebody else. So that's the machloket between Rosh Hashanah and Chanukah. Okay, let's just pause for a second. Let's go over the mission again, and then we'll move on. Okay, so we're trying to figure out what the pshat in the mission. I'm sorry you came a little bit late, Rafi, but I think you're catching it now. So there was a very ambiguous mission. We don't know who or what. The mission talks about somebody being mishachar, freeing an eved, and also the Eved being chayav to somebody, and the Rabbo frees him. So the way that Rav learned Pshat in the Mishnah, we're talking about, in my example, Reuven is the creditor. Reuven lent, let's say, $10,000 to Shimon. And Shimon designated his slave, Ivan, to be the apotiki. Apotiki is the way I'm learning in the Chapiron and Lemizu. This is where you'll collect your debt and nowhere else. That's our deal. You're just going to look to Ivan, and then that's the end of your remedies. And then Shimon went around and freed Ivan. And then we learned already that when you do that, the security interest goes out the door. No security interest anymore. So when the Mishnah says that He says, Shichro, his first master freed him. Shura din and Eben Chaya Klum. So Mitara din, Ivan. So Mitara din, Ivan owes nothing to Reuven the creditor. But Mevei Tikkun HaOlam, because of Tikkun HaOlam, Kovin Rabo Voso Tabin Chorin. So, because of Tikkun HaOlam, we force Reuven, who was the creditor, to issue a shtar Shichrur in favor of Ivan. He says, the Kotev Shtar Al Dama. And then Ivan, we obligate Ivan to write an IOU note to Reuven for his value, whatever Ivan's value was. So, in other words, the loan might have been 25,000, Ivan might be worth 10,000. He only owes Reuven his own value. But Rosh Hashanah Meir, Enok Tevel Meshachrer. So Rosh Hashanah says that Ivan doesn't write anything. We're going to get Shimon, the debtor, he's the one who has to write an OOU note now to Reuven. So we said, what's the point of dispute between the Tanakh Tama and Rosh Hashanah? It's on the point of Mazik Shibudosh Lachavero. If a person impairs the security interests of somebody else, so Rav Shmuel holds, you're absolutely chayev. If you impaired somebody else's security interests, you're chayev for nizikin, and the Tanakh Kama holds, you're not. Okay, who's the questions, comments, and thoughts? Wait, question. Wait, go.
No one's thinking about
whether
the slave was only worth 10,000. So Shimon is gaining over here?
Wait. Rav Shmuel, the Meshachrer, the debtor, is going to write an IOU, you know. Right. Right. So the way we're learning right now, he would write it for the full amount of the debt. It would be the value of the slave. Right. It would be the value of the slave. Right. He would take a loss. Right. Right. It would just be the value of the slave. Just the value of the slave. Okay. What's up? Right. No. Right.
So he's the security.
Right. Well, that's the $64,000 question that was, or the $10,000 question that we were studying in Mishnah. So it's again, the agreement between them is that Shimon the debtor says to Reuven the creditor, our agreement is that your rights and remedies in terms of collection are just this slave. That's it. Nowhere else. Okay. Well, he had a koach to be mishakra the eved, which he did. So the Tanakh Kama holds that he mitzara din doesn't owe any money. The Shimon doesn't owe any money to Reuven, but Shimon holds, you know, he owes. All right, let's see further. That's one way to understand the Mishnah. Let's go further. Now, I'm looking at the return. Okay, Ula Amar. Okay, so around 10 lines down. Ula Amar, Mishichro, Rabbi Shani. So Ula learns, no. Ula, again, we sort of the same thing. Reuven lends the money to Shimon. Shimon is the slave owner. Who frees the slave? Rabbi Shani. Meaning that Reuven, the creditor, frees the slave. Shuda din in a Eben Chayev Tum B'mitzvah. So Mitana din, in other words, that has no impact on the slave. In other words, the slave does not belong to Reuven. But Reuven turns around and he frees the slave. He gives the Shar Shechor to the slave. So Mitana din, the slave is not Chayev B'mitzvah. In other words, he's not a free man. He says, Elam and Tikkun HaOlam, but because of Tikkun HaOlam, Shrei Atzalav Shein Ben Korin. So Tikkun HaOlam means everybody thinks he's a free man because Reuven the creditor gave him a Shtar Shechor. So because of Tikkun HaOlam, Kovin Rabo Rishon, Roso Tav Ben Korin. He forced the first master, Shimon, to actually free him, to free Ivan. He says, the Kotev, now here the back ends the word Eved, I think, right? The Kotev Eved, Shtar Al Dama. So now the Eved has to write an IOU note to one cent. Hold on. Okay. Yeah, to the debtor. Right. So to Shimon. So Ivan is going to write an IOU. So in other words, Shimon, his slave master, is going to free him. And now Ivan, the slave, or the former slave, is going to write an IOU note to his erstwhile master, wherever his value was. Lil says the Eved doesn't write anything. The Meshachrer writes it. Yeah. So here the Meshachrer, right. So it means the creditor, right. Reuven is the one who's going to have to write. He's going to write because he's the one who caused Shimon to lose the slave. So in other words, a series of events. Reuven, the creditor, started a series of events that eventually obligated Shimon, the debtor slaveholder, to free his slave. So according to Rav Shmuel, it's Reuven is the one who's going to owe money to. So in other words, even though Reuven's the creditor, so now in other words, let's say the slave, let's say the debt was $5,000 and the slave is worth $10,000. So Reuven, the creditor, is entitled to a set off from the money that he loaned. In other words, if Shimon owed him $5,000. Yeah, but we'll take the $10,000 that Ivan is worth, subtract $5,000 for the loan, and now the former current creditor is going to be a judgment debtor to Shimon. That's what's coming out. Now let's see back in the Gemara. He says, So the Gemara says, what's the point of dispute between the Tanakhama and Rav Shmuel here? He says, Hezek Shenonikar, we've had this before. It means, let's say, Rabbi Leibowitz's example is if somebody takes a bat and, you know, bashes into your car, so you see the Hezek, it's clear damage, you owe damages for it. But then this Hezek Shenonikar, let's say you have a dead sheretz and I bring it to your truma and I touch it, the truma becomes tame. And that was his example. But in other words, let's say if I watch the video, I look at it, it looks like the same truma. In other words, it's a type of damage that I can't. It's not clear. In other words, I don't. It's not right. Not recognizable. Nothing that we could discern. So Mar Shavar Shmei Hezek. So Rav Shmuel holds that is a damage. In other words, so Hezek Shemini Kar. So here with this Eved, that's what Reuven set the ball in motion. Reuven freed, in quotation marks, Ivan, but it forced Shimon eventually to free the slave. So according to Rav Shmuel, Reuven, the creditor, owes damages to Shimon, the debtor, for setting in motion the freeing of the slave. Whereas Tanakhama holds, that's not a compensable damage. Now, so we had a machloka between Rav and Ula, how to interpret the Mishnah. So the points of dispute are really when it says Shichro. So according to Rav, Shichro is Rabbo Rishon. In other words, according to Rav, it was Shimon who freed the slave, and everything flowed from that. Whereas according to Ula, it's really it's Reuven, the creditor, who freed the slave. So one point is who's the Meshachrer? Who's the Meshachrer? And then the Tikkun Olam Kofinet Rabbo Bosota Ben Chorin. Who's the master that we forced him to make Ben Chorin? So according to Rav, it was Rabbo Sheni was the master, whereas according to Ula, So according to Rav, it was the Rabbo Rishon who had freed him. So it's Rabbo Sheni who we're going to force now to free. According to the second shot, is the Rabbi Sheni who was Mishakrer, and now we're going to force the Rabbi Rishon. Yeah, right. Okay, so this is back in the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, Ula might tell them like Rav. Why does Ula not like Rav's Pshat? Rav was the first Pshat that it was the his first master that freed him. He says, Amar Lach, Sheni Rabbi Karid like. He says, according to that Pshat, you have to say in the Mishnah when it says that his the word that we force his master to turn into a Ben Chorin, Rabbo means the Tana Mishnah is referring to right, is referring to Reuven as Rabbo Sheni, creditor as Rabbo Sheni. It doesn't make that sense. Rav might tell the Mark Ula, why does Rav not like Ula's shot? Amar Lach Sheni Mishakra Karikai. So he says, you're called according to Ula. Ula was that he was the second master who would free them, and then who's the Mishak there? So it says Bishikro. I'm sorry. Bishikro, right, he freed him. Right. So who's the one who freed him according to that? That's the second master. In other words, that's Reuven. He says So Mishakra, he really didn't do anything, but in other words, like it appears he did something, but he didn't really do anything. Now, let me just do a few more lines, get to the next Mishnah, then we'll pause, we'll discuss some things, we'll go on. Now, it's talking about a potiki. So Itmar, how it says, so they were potiki lacherim. If a person, is a different case, like, you know, clean the slate. If a person declares to feel black acre, is it a potiki to other people? And again, the Farshim say a potiki is a potahekai. You know, this is what you should like refer to. There was a blurb in the art school. They said that even though like the words, like sometimes the words might be of Greek or Latin origin, but the Chachamim tried to find like the remez in the Hebrew or the Aramaic translation. Not that that's really the etymology of it, but like it fits in nicely. So he says, so they said that apotheke is from the Greek, but it's like a remez. They have a potekai. So in Marhaos said they were potekai lacherim. If a person says black acre, this is where you'll come, you'll collect the debt. Ushtafanar. And then a river came and flooded it. So now Black Acre is like a marshland. It's not worth anything. So Ami Shapir Noah. Ami, the good-looking Ami. So I don't know why they call him good-looking. I mean, presumably he's good-looking, but I don't know why they threw that in. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Eino gova mishar nechasim. So Rabbi Yochanan says that the creditor cannot collect many of the properties. In other words, he's got that flooded field. Flooded field is valueless. Tough luck. That's his agreement. So Shmuel's father says, go from Mishor Nechasim, collect from other property. So we, again, the point we have to clarify is this talking about an apotheke mefurish. Apotheke mefurish is, like you say, lo yehela kapiron elimizu, that our agreement is, when the time comes to pay, this is the only piece of property that you can look to collect from nowhere else. Or is it talking about an apotheke stam, which is, this is the designated property, but at your discretion, you can come to this piece of property or you could use other properties. So if I say it's an apotheke mefurish, the first halacha makes sense. If I say it's an apotheke stam, the second halacha makes sense. First halacha was, this is where you're limited to, it's flooded, too bad, so sad. Now you can go to other pieces of property. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Mishum Da'ami Shapir Na'ehu, I'm sorry, Mishum Da'ami Shapir Na'ehu, Omer Shmait Lo Shapiran, he says, he doesn't understand the first halacha from Ami, the good-looking one, because he's shopping, you know, he's good looking. So he says teachings that aren't so good, nice looking. I don't know exactly how this is working. So the Gemara says, Tatar game shmite, the Amar Lai Loya Chapiron Olizu. The Gemara says we should explain the first halacha of Ami is that it's a potiki mefurish. The second halacha is talking about a potiki stam. So there is no machlokit between the two opinions. In other words, the first statement, Ami is shopping, not something with Yochanan. Got the field, it got flooded, so too bad, so sad. Let's talk about an apotheke mefurish. That our agreement was that if I'm in default, your rights and remedies are limited to this property. So now the property is worth zero because it flooded, so too bad. The second halacha, you can go wherever you want, it's not even a apotheke stam. So Tani Namihachi, the learned Bryce that supports this, says, how says that they apotheke lacher. The Bryce says, if a person made a field and apotheke to somebody else, Ushtaf Anahar, and then the river flooded it. So then the creditor can go to other properties. In other words, his first, you know, remedy would typically be to go to the apotheke, but otherwise he can go to other properties of the debtor. But if the debtor said, our agreement is that this is what you're limited to in this property, then he cannot collect from other properties. Okay, Tani Ida, we learned a different price, the last narrow line. Let's say a person made his property an apotheke for Baal Chov, for a debt, or for his wife's ksuba. So he says, Govin Mishar Nechasim. So then the assumption is that it's not an apotheke mefurish, it's an apotheke stam, and each one, the Baal Chov or the Isha, they typically would go to that property first, but otherwise they're not limited to that, they go to other properties as well. Balchov govim mishar nechasim. But Shmuel says Balchov, you know, can go to other properties. Isha govim mishar nechasim, but Isha cannot. She darker shall Isha lechazer al bati dinim, because a woman really doesn't go to all the different bati dinim. So the way Rashi explains it, let's see Rashi. Ain't a govim mishar nechasim. She darker shall Isha lechazer al bati dinim. Look at Rashi. He lines to the bottom. Kolomar dafki tilach like to betal sadazu, meaning the assumption at law is, even though they do not explicitly say this, if I arrange with a woman that this is where your ksuba should be collected from, I mean it to be an apotheke mefurish, even though I didn't say the apotheke mefurish. That's the understanding of the parties. Why? Not that all of his properties will be subject to the ksuba. In other words, if you have a creditor and you have to collect properties, so there's a hierarchy of where you're going to collect the properties. In other words, if the debtor does not have the properties, but let's say he had 10 pieces of property, he sold all the properties. So your remedy is, in other words, let's say Reuben bought Blackacre, was the first piece of property. By the time Reuben bought Blackacre, the debtor had 9 other properties. So then the creditor cannot come and collect Blackacre, because Reuben can say, yeah, I bought Blackacre, but when I bought Blackacre, the debtor had other properties. So you have to sort out who was the last purchased property. So it's not such a simple thing. He says, he's going to have to tie it with each one. So the Gemara learns that that's not the derech of an Isha. It's like a zilzul for an Isha to go to different body dinim to argue with this person, that person, the other person. Meaning, this is the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, so it's understood, you know, between a husband and wife, that if the husband says, this is where your ksuba is from this property, he means that that's in the post to be mefurish. That's according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That is the way Rabbi Shimon Gamliel understands it. All right, 1 second. Let me just see one other thing. Now, okay, so the basic idea we learned, the two basic ideas, first we learned in the Mishnah, there are two ideas. Either the point in the Mishnah is whether you can recoup from Mazik Shibudo Shel Chaveiro. If somebody undermines somebody's security interests, is that a right or remedy in law? And then the other point of dispute might be Hezek Shein or Nikar. Hezek Shein or Nikar is if the damage is not clear, it is not apparent to look at it. Like we said, if I touch the dead sheretz and I touch the truma, so now the truma is tamea, so it's not, it has to be burnt, it's valueless. But that's a Hezek Shein or Nikar. In other words, I have a video, I don't see any difference with it. Is that something that could be recouped for? So now, Tosos mentions, you look at the Tosos, the Hezek Shein or Nikar. There's a Gemara coming up and up from Gimel. He says that Gemara over there later on, when Gimel takes it, the Lashmei Hezek. That, so later on, the way Leibowitz was saying, like Gemara later on talks about, let's say you have a Kohen and he makes a Korban Pigel. Pigel is when he has Machshava, or it might be a Dibor, according to somebody shown him. He says that his Kavana is that the korban should be consumed either by the mizbeach or by the people outside the right zman. So not that he did consume it outside the right zman, but he just had that machshava or that dibur. So then he renders the korban unfit. That's also a case of hezek shein or nikar. In other words, the korban looks fine. I have a video of the avodah on the base of mikdash. Everything looks fine. I can't see anything. That's a case of hezek shein or nikar. So later on in that sugya, the Gemara takes it that everyone holds that lash may hezek, that's not considered hezek. And here, in our Gemara, we take it that there's a machloket. So Tosha says over here, that so the way that Rav Leibowitz was saying that that there's different types of Hezek Shin and Nikar. Now, I don't know how one is more Nikar or one is more apparent than the other one, but this case here is apparently, that case is the less Nikar case. Here's the more Nikar case. So the case over here is, so that he says so that's more Nikar, but I don't know exactly what it means more Nikar when you're freeing the slave. What? Yeah, but I'm saying, how is it more? Yeah, but how is that more Nikar than with the Korban? In other words, like the Korban makes a Pigol. All right, but No. In other words, the with the Eved. Wait, what's the Masa with the Eved? What is the Masa? Yeah. So you, in other words, you want to say the Masa. You mean riding the Shtar Shechror? Riding the Shtar Shechror. You want to say? Yeah. So the only thing is, though, the riding Shtar Shechror, it could be, but it is. I mean, the object itself looks the same. In other words, if I look at the object, like looking at the car, you know, the car looks the same. The Shtar looks the same. Maybe, I don't know. Okay. Now, all right. Then we spoke about a potki, meforish, and a potki stam. Okay. Who's your question? Comes to us. Anything we did so far?
Go ahead.
If I give you saying again, what? A what? A field.
Shimon finds gold.
Wait, who's Shimon and who's Reuben? Reuben is the debtor. Let's make Reuben the mother. Let's say Shimon will be the owner of the field. He's the debtor. So then, and then what happens? Wait. Reuben is the lender. I'm flipping it over. Reuben's the lender. Okay. Shimon is the field owner. And he declares to be an apotki. And go ahead and
find the gold.
Yeah. No. So again, okay, the key is Reuben the creditor is only entitled, he's not entitled to make a bonanza on it. He's only entitled to recoup the money that he gave out. Now, if Shimon is still the owner of the field and he finds gold in the field, so, you know, I mean, I would think that, you know, he could, you know, somehow work out a deal, sell the field, pay off Reuben and keep the rest for himself, or sell a piece of the field, whatever, work it out. But that's the way it goes. Okay, let me go on to the next piece of tomorrow, okay? Now, we're 3 lines from the bottom on Mem Alpha 41A, okay? So this is a famous Mishnah, if you may recall, but if a person's half slave, half free, how do you get to be half slave, half free? He had two masters, one master freed and one didn't. He says, Ovid and Rabbo Yomachad, that's the Yomachad of Ibn Hillel. Ibn Hillel says, simple shot, to work for himself. Let's say Sunday he's working for himself, Monday for the master, you know, Tuesday for himself, Wednesday for the master. The Shalmi says, well, that only helps the master. The master's happy, he's getting what he bargained for, but he didn't help the Eved. He says, he can't marry a Shifra, he can't mate with a Shifra, not it, because he's half Ben Chorin. Ben Chorin can't be a Shifra. Turn page. But Chorin Yefshar, he can't mate with a free woman, half of an Eved. Yvatel, maybe he won't mate with anybody, one of any children. The world is created, you know, to multiply. Hashem didn't create the world to be desolate. He created it to be inhabited. Ella, that they tikkun olam, use again tikkun olam or magic words. Kofin rabo vosotav ben chorin, because it so means mitzadin, the master is entitled to keep in the same situation. Because tikkun olam, we force the master to free the slave. The kotev shtar al chatzin. Normally, freeing the slave is not permitted because the olam ben tavodu. But we force the master to free the slave. The kotev shtar al chatzin damav, and then the slave will have to write an IOU note to the master for half his value, because who Ben Hillel wrote to the Beit Shammah. Then Ben Hillel, who came over to Beit Shammah his way, and said that makes much more sense. Okay, now let me just touch on different items, and then we'll go on. Look on Amud Aleph and Tosfos. Everybody, think? So if you look in the last Tosfos, the Sashi Klein Yachol, the Rambam was saying there are 5 questions to Tosfos, but I'm going to focus on one of them. If you look around the 5th line of Tosfos, not that. Wait. The 4th line of Tosfos. The 3rd line of Tosfos. Bim Tomar, late the essay, Ruvu, Luchilab, Loya Kadesh. So Tosfos asks, let's say let's say you say Lisa, he can't marry a free woman. This Evan can't marry a free woman. So I was saying, why not? Why don't I say Ese Dochlotasa? A positive commandment pushes away a negative commandment. What's the positive commandment? This free half is Chayim and Puruvu, right? It's Chayim and Puruvu. Then what's the negative? There's the negative of Lo Yekadesh. In other words, as an Eved, he can't have a union with a free woman. That's Lo Yekadesh. He says, V'yesh Lomar, V'hacha Efshar V'kayim Shnei Yimai Bechia. So we only say Ese Dochlotasa when there's no other way out of the problem. Here, where he can be freed, I'm not going to say Ese Dochlotasa. Let's answer number one. He says that, again, essay doch lotasa means at the same time I'm a kind of essay, I push away the lotasa. So here Tosa says it's not going to happen at the same time. He says, the law, first I'm going to violate the law of lo yekadesh. When I begin the sexual act, I'll transgress the law. And the essay, I won't fulfill till Gemara Bia. Till the act is complete, I won't fulfill the essay. So since it's not at the same, you know, one of my rabbis, Rabbi Bronchi, had a lot of Torah on this social. I mean, it's similar sugis all over the place, about things being whether they have to be simultaneously and things like that. And you know, Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned, though, that there's a Mintas Chinuch says in Siman Aleph, he says that period of Arivia, when you become period of Arivia, not when the child's born, when the children, it's ongoing mitzvah, when the children are around. Yet Tosos here learns, like, Bigmar Bia is the mitzvah essay. So he was saying one's maybe a Masse mitzvah, one's a mitzvah, but Ode, and then a third answer Tosos has, and I got to run. But the Diva, like the essay, that the woman has no, in other words, essay dochalotasa, it'll be for the man, but she has no essay. I feel mythical, because even if she is commanded on, let's say, Loto Brahla Shabbat Yisra, even though she has a mitzvah to procreate, so she can marry somebody like herself, either free woman, a slave woman. He's the one with the problems of the Chetzu Eved. So, yeah, from his side, maybe it's going to ask the Dokla Tase, but from her side, not. All right, there's more to talk about this, but I got to get going because we're running out of time. Well, I'm sorry, wait till I pause, okay? Now, let's look back on other days. Now, then, so you look at the second Tosos there. Tosos talks about why we have the Gemara quotes Lotobra the Shevet Yitzara. And Tosos has several answers for this. But one answer Tosos gives is in the middle of the Tosos. Rabbi Yitzchak for Rabbi Mordechai Mefarish, the Nachat LeShevet Yitzara Mishum Neshayachach Betzad Abdu. In other words, the Shevet Yitzara could apply even to an Eved. He says, Aval Puruvu Lo Shayachach LeBetzad Chayra. Puruvu is only on the free side of him. So he wants to say, like, this Eved has a mitzvah say to go forward. Okay, let's look back in the Gemara on line 6. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanur Banan, HaMishnach Rechatz Yavdo. Now, the Gemara is talking about a different case. Leave the Mishnah on the side for a moment and focus on this. In the Mishnah we spoke about, if you have two masters and one master frees the Eved, then he's half free, half slave. So we're talking about now one person, Reuven, owns the entire slave. And Reuven wants to free half his slave. So, Rebbe says that's an effective, you could be Meshachar Echatz Yavdo. That's what Rebbe has. You know, if you have a chance, there's a blurb here in the Morot Daf Yomi. He learns, how can you have somebody who's half Jew, half non-Jew? So if we get a chance, he's got no kim to this, right? We'll see. So he says here, I think he says like this, it's from the Minchas Chinuch. He says, let's say the person is Meshachver is Eved, half the Eved, but he doesn't give him the Shor Shechor. And then the half that he frees, I think, converts to Judaism, and then the other half is an Eved. One thing you could have half Eved, half Goy. But no, but that's an Eved, is already a Jew. Yeah, so it means there was a person who was, all right, I have to look at it. The person was an Eved, a non-Jewish Eved, maybe owned by a non-Jew. And then the non-Jew frees half the Eved, and then then he decides he wants to convert to Judaism, and half of him is a slave. And so then he's half Eved, half Jewish. Anyway, so he said half non-Jewish, half Jewish. Anyway, so if a person frees half as an Eved, Rebbe Americana, Rebbe said that's an effective transaction. But there's nothing. So that's the machloket. Now we have to understand this machloket. Let's look inside, Robert, in the otiot machimot, the words, if you see the words, it helps. So Amar Rava, machloket b'shtar. So Rava says, this machloket is where the master uses a shtar shichror, a bill of emancipation. Rebbe Sabar, v'afdelu nifdata, uku shalu nitala, makishtar l'keset. So he's learning like this. It says, where Rebbe's learning, that she was half redeemed. In other words, you could read it as far as redeemed, she wasn't redeemed, or she was half redeemed. It was half to have and half shifra. So he says, Rebbe takes it, Torah speaking about a shifra kananid, who was half redeemed. In other words, somebody paid to free half of her. So he says, "Afshtar nami ben kulu ben chetzio." So I have a hekesh. A hekesh is two others mentioned in the same pasuk. So a hekesh is one of the midot that we darsh in the Torah with. So in the same pasuk, it refers to freeing by purchase and freeing by shtar. It says, "Ochuf shalom itana." It's talking about the shtar. So there's a hekesh. So with kesef, I could free the person who freed half through payment of money. And so with star also, the Rebbe Rebbe's learning, can be paid half. Rabbanim Gami La Lami Isha. The Chachamim Lo, they learned the Gzeir Shava La Lami Isha. We've had this Gzeir Shava before. It's good to remember this Gzeir Shava. It says, Ochu Shalonita La by the Shifu Kwanit. And it says, Vachatav La Sefer Pita. So La La creates Gzeir Shava between an Isha and a Shifu Kwanit. But Isha Chesilo, just like an Isha cannot be freed half. I can't divorce half of my wife, right? I've Eben Nami Chetzilo. So an Eben also cannot be freed by half the star. Of all the Kesef, the Briah called Kana, Paduya Ve'ena Paduya. But of course, Kesef, everybody agrees that it does work. So the way that Rabbah understands this, again, we had in the Brice, the Machlok between Rabbi and the Chachamim, the Shachar Chatziyabdel. The way Rabbah understood the machloket is when the master uses the shtar to free the eved. So Rebbe takes it as a hekesh between kesef and shtar. Kesef works halfway, shtar also can work halfway. I come in and say, no, I'm not going to hekesh, I'm going to gzeir shava, just like a get, only works all or nothing. So too, shtar works all or nothing. But in this ukimta, everybody agrees that money would work partially because of habte l'nevdata. So lame of a hakimitliki, should we say that Rebbe and the Chachamim were chulak on this point? What? The Bar Savar Hekesh Adifa, that Rebbe holds, given the choice between a Gzeir Shava and a Hekesh will trump a Gzeir Shava. So I'm going to go with the Hekesh. The Hekesh is that the freeing the slave by Shtar is in the same Pasuk with, you know, personally with money. The Bar Savar, whereas the Chachamim holds Gzeir Shava Adifa, the Gzeir Shava, that trumps everything. You go with Gzeir Shava. So the Gemara says, "Lo, it's puli am gzeir shava difa." The Gemara says, "No, I can say everybody agrees the gzeir shava that trumps everything." Shani hacha. So if that's true, the gzeir shava trumps everything. Why then does Rebbe use the hekesh? Shani hacha, the ikon mifrach. Here though, the gzeir shava is vulnerable to an attack. How so? In other words, to making the sushdel between isha and eved. Mala isha shkein in a yotze b'kesef. In other words, an isha can never, the union can never be dissolved by money, even though the Gemara in Kiddushin has a hadamina this way, but the Gemara rejects it. So woman, you can't buy your way out, like, you know, literally, you know, in terms of a get, in terms of money. Tomer be'evet she'otzei b'kesef. When evet could be yotzei b'kesef. So therefore, given the choice between the gzeir shava, now, he wanted to say, this is Tosfos, if you look at the bottom line of Tosfos, the bottom line of the Gemara, so mali isha chulei, so Tosa says, even though it's Gzeir Shava, we know that when there are superfluous words, it makes the Gzeir Shava impervious to attack. So it means that the flow of the Gemara, the way Tosa says, and I believe this is pointing this as well, Archibald had it as well. In Achinami, the Gzeir Shava is impervious to attack because it's Mufna. But if there's a question in the air, and now I have a choice between the Gzeir Shava and the Hekesh, I'm going to go to the Hekesh. And this is a Kasha against the Gzeir Shava. Okay, let's just think through what we did. So we had a Braisa, and the Braisa spoke about with the Shachar Chatziyavdo. Rabba said the Machloket is Shtar. That's the point of his view. By Kesef, everybody agrees that half Kesef, the pre and Abed would work, because we're learning Bafdelon of Daka, that that's the case the Torah is talking about, where she was half freed by Keset. But the question is, which to or would that would be the way the Roman said the Pasuk. But the question is, the Shtar. So Rebbe says Shtar works awfully halfway and come hold now. That's the way Rab understands it. And everybody agrees that Xer Shaba would trump everything. But in this case, since there is a kasha against Xer Shaba, Rebbe holds would go to the Hekkev. Now, let's get back in the Gemara. I'm sorry, I got to keep moving because I'm afraid we won't have enough time to finish the Daf. Okay, now. Now again, Rav and Rav Yosef of Bar Flukas Rashas. Remember, Rav died when he was 40, right? So if Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef, I think, was blind. Rav Shesha was blind. Rav Yosef was also blind. So if Rav Yosef Amar, Machloket Bekesa. Rav Yosef says, the Machloket, again, the Bryce didn't say anything about Shtar, the Bryce didn't say anything about Kesef. The Bryce just said, is Machloket about the Shachar Chatzi Abdo. So Rav Yosef says, the Bryce is talking about Kesef. He says, Rebbe Sabar about the Lathatha Duya Veda Duya. Rebbe holds Pasuk means they're talking about the woman was half redeemed through money. So in Achinami, a woman, an Eved, can be freed halfway through money. Rabban Sabri, Dibratora, Klishman Ben Adam. Come and hold, no. The Pasuk is not talking about that the Eved was freed half through money. It's just that's the way people talk. Bahafde, as far as being redeemed, Lord of Tata, she was not redeemed. So nothing with half money. So again, within Rabbah took it that everybody agreed that Kesef, who does work halfway, and the Machloket with Shtar, he's like moving the goalpost here. Here, Rav Yosef is saying nobody holds with Shtar, and the Machloket is with Kesef. Just Kesef itself is a Machloket. How about the Shtar? It's a very cool Okana, but the Shtar, everybody agrees, doesn't work. Okay, that's Rav Yosef's shot. So, main thing, so in this we ask Akasha against Rav Yosef in the following Braisa. Bryce says on the Shachar Chatzi Abdu Bishtar. So now this Bryce says Bishtar. Like the earlier Bryce on line 5, the Shachar Chatzi Abdu. It didn't say Shtar, it didn't say Kesef. So it opened up the field. But this Bryce says on the Shachar Chatzi Abdu Bishtar. The person frees half his Eved with a star, with a document. Now Rabbi Yosef said, nobody holds the free half the Eved with a star. Rabbi Omer Kana, Rabbi says that it is effective. But Chachamim Marim Lo Kana, Chachamim say it doesn't work. Yufta Rabbi Yosef Yufta. So that brisa is on all fours against what Rav Yosef said. Rav Yosef says it's machloket by Kesef, but by Shtar, everybody holds it can't be done. But here the brisa says we have the machloket by Shtar. So Rav Yosef is hemorrhaging. So in Achinami, that part, Rav Yosef is going to have to compete. So the Gemara says, the Shtar who depleting. So the Gemara says, do you mean that the only point of dispute with Shtar is that this is my hook with Shtar, Abba B'Kesef, locally. So the implication of that Brisa is that there is no Machloket by Kesef, right? In other words, that was what Rabba said, right? Rabba said, there's a Machloket by Shtar, but by Kesef, everybody agrees it works. So this Brisa says that there's a Machloket by Shtar. So it sounds like the Gemara is saying two things. In other words, Shtar, you're wrong, Rav Yosef, but the Gemara wants to say you're also wrong about Kesef. In other words, Avobah Kesef locally, in other words, it sounds like there is no machlok about Kesef. You, Rav Yosef, say there's machlok about Kesef. Lema to be accused of Rav Yosef Atarti. So should we say that Rav Yosef is really up the shlok? Again, what did Rav Yosef said? Rav Yosef said there's a machlok by Kesef. He says, but by Shtar, everybody agreed low cannot, didn't work. So Shtar, he's wrong about that. And Rabbi Yosef said there's my cloak by Kesef, but the implication of the price is Kesef, everybody agrees it works. So then it's a double whammy. He's double shot. In other words, he's history. So Amalak Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef has a fallback position. He says, please give Shtar. I have to concede. Okay, my fallback position is I agree. There is my cloak by Shtar. I agree there's my cloak by Shtar. Rabbi holds the most of my Shtar. But who did the Kesef? I said there's also machloket by Kesef. So now, as revised, so it comes out, Rabba hold that there's a machloket by Shtar, but by Kesef, this is Rabba holds the machloket by Shtar, but by Kesef, everybody holds it works, right? By Kesef, everybody works, it holds halfway. And Rabbi Yosef says, no, it's straight along, straight up and down. There's machloket by Shtar and machloket by Kesef. If that's true, that there's a machloket by Kesef as well, why does the Tana frame the machloket by Shtar and not mention Kesef as well? Because it wants to teach us like this leniency of Rebbe, that Rebbe holds that Shtar works. In other words, let's see Rashi, let's see Koch of Rebbe. The people story the equal Migmar La Lama Isha, even by Shtar that I learned from Isha, that you can't go halfway. So he seems to mean like the Rebbe holds that it even works by Shtar. So why doesn't he teach me by Kesef and teaching that that the Chachamim hold that it doesn't work by Kesef? It doesn't work. So the Tana would rather teach me Heter rather than teaching me Isra. Okay, so now, Tashma, we learn in the Braisa is Bahaftei. And again, talking about, this is in Parshat Emor, they're Psukim, they're talking about the Shivka Harufa. So one way to say Shivka Harufa, she's half Eved, you know, half Ben Chorin, and she's Mekudeshet to either a free Jew or to an Eved Ivri, and then she's Mezana with somebody. So she's not put to bed. So Tashma Vahavdei, the Chola call. So I might have thought that she's completely redeemed. Vahavdei, she's redeemed. Tamalama alone of Dapta, though she's not redeemed. E alone of Dapta, the Chola call, might be telling not redeemed. Tamalomar Bahafdei, a Ketzad, Paduya Ve'ena Paduya. So the Bryce says she's redeemed and not redeemed. In other words, she's half redeemed with Kesef, right? Half redeemed with Kesef. So now, again, with, one second. Yeah. So Rabba holds, everybody holds Kesef works. And Rav Yosef held that Zemach Loker by Kesef. So, here at the beginning, the Braisa is learning that Kesef does work. So the way that Rabbi Yosef will have to say the beginning of the Rabbi Yosef will have to say the beginning of the Braisa is going according to Rabbi, whereas Rabbi will say the beginning of the Braisa is going according to the Brei Akol. He says, I guess between and Betuya, the Kesef will be Shabbat Kesef, the Eliel the Kesef. So Kesef is water under the bridge. The Shtar Minayin. What about the status of Shtar with this Shifka Kananit? Tamalomar. Her emancipation wasn't given to her. It says by a regular woman that'll write a bill of divorce. Please look inside, Robert. Please look inside. Okay, just like by a get, he's talking about a star, Akan Bishtar. So the beginning of the Bryce is saying that the Shifka Kanani can be redeemed half through Kesef if the master chooses. Or whatever chooses. Then he mentions Shtar, can be totally freed through Shtar. Ketzia B'Shtar Minayin. How do we know she can be freed? Ketzia B'Shtar. Tamalomar V'Pinlon of Data Ukushal Nitala. Mak Yishtar L'Kesef. Says a Hekesh. Mak Kesef Ben Kulu Ben Ketzio. Just like Kesef could be halfway. Ashtar Nabi Ben Kulu Ben Ketzio. Now, the Gemara says B'Shtimlon of Yosef Batar B'Tota. Meaning, Rav Yosef, as we've modified, or as he's modified his position, he holds everything as a machloket. Hamani Rebbe. So Rav Yosef will say, this Braisa is totally like Rebbe. Braisa holds that an Eved can be redeemed half through money, and the Braisa holds the Eved can be redeemed half through star. So the Braisa makes total sense according to Rav Yosef. El the Rabba, but according to Rabba, Reisha Devrei HaKol, the Sefer Rebbe. But according to Rabbah, it's not working out 100% so perfect. There's the ratio of the Braisa that says it could be redeemed halfway through money that everybody agrees. So the Braisa begins with something that all Shitot hold. And then the Braisa segues to Shtar, which is only with something that Rebbe holds. So that doesn't shtimoy so well. So the Gemara says, Amalak Rabbah, Rabbah would say, ratio the very cool, the Savior Rebbe. So Rabbah would say, you know, that's what the Braisa means, that the Braisa is teaching me that that the Reisha is going to everybody, and the Chatzan is Rebbe. In other words, he says, Rav Ashi Amar, Rebbe. Rav Ashi says the whole Braisa will be according to Rebbe. In other words, Rabbi could also learn the whole Braisa will be according to Rebbe. He says, in other words, what does Rebbe hold? If you would ask Rebbe, what do you hold by Kesef? I hold it to be halfway. Chatzan will also hold that, but that's not what Rebbe holds. And how do you hold by Shtar? Also halfway. So Rabbah can say the whole price is also like Rebbe. That's what Rebbe's opinions are. It's not giving the Chashit to the Chachamim. Yeah, so, okay, so we've been able to resolve that. Now we're coming back. Now we're coming back to our Mishnah that we learned about Mishnah Chesiyah Avir Chesiyah Ben Forim. So the Matnitz the Tani Mishnah Chesiyah Avir Chesiyah Ben Forim. Mishnah the Rabbah Mukim Lava Chesiyah the Bnei Kol. So in the Brisa we have somebody who's been freed halfway. So Rabbah could say he was freed halfway through Kesef, and because everybody holds Kesef works halfway, so the Mishnah could be a Libet Kuli Alma. He says, Ella, the Rabbi Yosef, Lema Rabbi Hebel Rabbanan. But according to Rabbi Yosef, should I say, Rabbi Yosef says that only Rabbi holds that Eved can be freed halfway. So will he say our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi and not the Chachamim? Amar Ravina, top line, on Mendez the mouth, the Eved shall shut in the Dibre Kol. No, Rabbi Yosef will say, in Achinami, if you have one master, there's Machloket about whether he can, you know, free half the slave. But everybody will agree, Rav Yosef will agree, everyone will agree, if you have two masters, everybody will agree that one master could free, and then the Eved will be half free. Okay, so that's that piece with this. All right, now there's some two little story here. You know, let me see, let me do this thing, let me go down with the half Eved, the other thing like this. So the Minchas Chinah holds that it could be that a person be half Eved, half and foreign. A person could be half Jewish, half non-Jewish. How would it be? He says, so the status of an Eved Kanani, Michayv and Mitzvos, depends on him immersing in the mikvah. If he didn't immerse in the mikvah, he's like a complete boy. So if you have an Eved, he says an Eved that wasn't Tovel, he's Nechshav like a goy. So he's talking about Eved. So if he's freed from one of his masters, so in other words, he never went through the Geirus process. He never did Tefillah in the mikvah. He could have been owned by two masters who were Jews, but they never followed through on everything. And then one of the masters frees him, and then he converts. So you have a person who's a half boy, half Jew. The free half, No, he wasn't freed. In other words, he has two masters, and he was never Tovel in the mikvah. In other words, normally, as an Eved Kanani, he should be Tovel as an Eved. He was never Tovel in the mikvah. So he's a goy, but he's owned by two masters. Then one master frees him, the other master not. Then he goes to the Beis Din, and he says, I want to convert to Judaism, and they put him through the conversion. Now he's half Jewish, half goy. The half goy is still owned as a slave. He says, what is it? So, all right, let's take a look. Let's all focus. We'll discuss it. Now, he talks about what's the status with Korban Pesach. So his Jewish half is chayav to bring the Korban Pesach to eat it. And this goyish half is not allowed to be Jewish, the Korban Pesach. This is really complicated. It's getting more problematical. So what is he supposed to do with Korban Pesach? As a Jew, he's obligated with Korban Pesach. As a goy, he's under prohibition from eating the Korban Pesach. So Mikvah Skinner talks about this, is Machriya. He says, just like in the whole Torah, Esa Yisdoka Lotase, so to this person, Akid Korban Pesach, which is flowing from his Jewish half, should push away the Easter of Achila, which is coming out from the Goyish half. Now, Turei Evan asks against the Chief of the Chaskina with an interesting svara. He says, this incident is totally different from the cases of Esei Docha Lotas. By this person, the mitzvah of the Isur are not coming from the same Makor, not Chalim and Kulo. In other words, he says, it can't be that the Mrs. Essay, which is Chala on the Jewish half, is going to push away the Easter Lotas, which is Chala on the non-Jewish half. In other words, let's say I have an Essay Docha Lotas. I have a mitzvah of, you know, putting on Tchelas and Tzitzis, and I have Sodom and Tzitzis. So the Essay and the Lotas are coextensive on the person, right? I have the Essay, I have Lotas. Here, the Essay and the Lotas, the Essay is on the Jewish half. The Lotas is on the non-Jewish hands. So it's not like the typical case of Esther Lotas. Okay, I got to get going. That's it. Okay, nice having everybody. Let's mark this up 1 second. Wait, I need your help.